Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Welcome back. Just the other day, there was this interesting conversation that happened between several of these New Jersey governor hopefuls and the Democrat Mikey Sherrill is a lady. I guess that's right. That's what it says. But Mikey, this is what Mikey had to say about potential LGBT indoctrination going on in schools.
Have the right to oversee their children's education. I would push an LGBTQ education into our schools. Parents have a right to opt out of a lot of things, but this is not an area where they should be opting out, because this is an area of understanding the background of people throughout our nation. And right now we see, for example, at Naval Academy, an erasure of history.
So she says parents
should have,
they should have rights, but every child must go through LGBTQ training and all of this stuff they need to study, and parents should not even be able to opt out. So this has gone viral, and it's getting a lot of attention right now because people are, I think, even just run-of-the-mill, maybe they think they're all political, they don't really care that much, but they're like, well, surely people, both parties generally support the idea that, parents should have more control in their education and more control just of, what their kids learn. Oh, no. Democrats openly saying, no, you can't even opt out. We need to force this on your kids. Well, a Moms for Liberty advocate who just won a big award, by the way, as one of the most active and organized Moms for Liberty chapters in the country. Her name is Caitlin. She's a conservative grassroots activist here in South Carolina. She went to X and put, in deep red, South Carolina, we still don't have a bill to protect women's private spaces. A bill, a parental bill of rights for education. A parental rights in medicine bill in South Carolina. Is this 25-26 legislative session the year the grassroots and legislators will get it done? And boy, Caitlin, I couldn't agree with you more. The frustration is real. I fought this for years as chair of the Family Caucus. We would bring up an issue during the whole CRT debate and all the indoctrination that was going on in schools. We said we need to pass this. It's an issue. The Republican establishment said, no, it's not. it's not a real issue. You guys just make stuff up and you complain and blah, blah, blah. It's not real. And then lo and behold, this video services from a teacher of EL Education, which was a group we were paying with taxpayer money, who was on camera saying she was looking for co-conspirators, teachers to break state law and teach prohibited concepts that they weren't supposed to be teaching, indoctrinating. And they still wouldn't do anything. So the Freedom Caucus sued the district that was hiring them, and they actually had to drop that program, the blatantly racist program. And yeah, chair of the Family Caucus. Thank you, Texture. I was chair of the Freedom Caucus, but I was in the Family Caucus. It was the Freedom Caucus that sued the district and won. But the legislators in the Republican caucus didn't want to touch it, said it was a non-issue. And then only after all that happened did they finally say, okay, we'll pass the CRT bill and we'll pass the banning of pediatric transgender surgeries bill and we'll do all these things. But in the CRT bill, when a Freedom Caucus member put up an amendment that said on school time, if a kid starts requesting to go by a different pronoun or changes their legal name without the parents knowing and tries to change genders, you have to report. An amendment, right? Simple, easy. What happened? The majority leader, Davey Hyatt from Pickens, gets up and rants and raves about how dare we put that on our teachers. And it's like it's not on the teachers. The school, the principal is supposed to let parents know if their kid is transitioning without their knowledge. And it was an issue that happened in Florida and in California. Why do we have such bad Republicans? Why do we have these rhinos in office? Why? Because we make poor decisions in voting in our primaries. Well, up next, I have somebody who has actually fought on a lot of these issues and helped support a lot of Save Women's Sports. One of the things that she talks about, we got the sports saved, but we didn't have the women's private spaces passed. And Diane Mitchell, who's running in the, she's the other candidate in the upcoming November 4th primary. Diane's on with us now. Diane, thanks for joining the program.
Thank you, Adam. And boy, from your mouth to God's words, we have to really make a difference in Columbia by sending the right people there. And I hope that District 21 will send me there because I know the playing field in Columbia. I've been down there on various issues. And you're so right about the women's sports bill. Our eyes were opened as Republican women when we went down and realized that that bill failed twice in the Judiciary Committee. Most people don't realize it took us 2.5 years to get that bill through. And during that process, I learned who the strong conservatives were, and I learned who the squishy ones are. And that is our real battle in Columbia, to make sure that we get strong conservative leaders in the statehouse.
Yeah, I mean, it's fundamental. And as you mentioned, yes, the Republicans on Judiciary Committee, like Neil Collins, who we talked about earlier, voted to kill it. And it was Republicans who opposed and killed the amendment to report to parents if kids are transitioning. And as Caitlin said in that tweet, is 2025 to 2026 going to be the year that we get this stuff done? So what will Diane Mitchell, because I've seen what you do as a grassroots activist, and I know why you earned all of that nasty attack mail from all the establishment and the lobbyist groups. What is on the Diane Mitchell agenda day one? Are these similar things that Caitlin's talking about? What do you want to see done this legislative session if you win?
Well, I will definitely get immediately on the empowering parents the bill that we need to do there, because that is something that is really important to make sure that parents are in charge of their children and the government has nothing to do with it. I'm also a fiscal conservative, so I'd love to get the zero-based budgeting bill back. We are supposed to be doing zero-based budgeting, and we're not. We haven't done it since 2009. By state law, we are required to do that. And I have a bill ready to go that will reenact the zero-based budgeting bill and put the accountability for doing that in the governor's office.
So, wait, Diane, hold on. You're telling me you already have legislation drafted?
Yes. Yes, I do.
You don't, Diane, you don't understand.
I have a team of people that I work with that are really sharp. I have some lawyers that are sharp. I work with Tanya Shelton of Alliance Defending Freedom. She makes sure that the bills that we craft will withstand court scrutiny. I have connections, and I know Columbia because of my grassroots work down there.
Well, I think that's fantastic, and it's so shockingly different from most. I mean, generally you have either people who run and they have no core values. They just put their name on a sign because they've always wanted the vanity project of being elected office. They have no idea what they're getting into. They're doe-eyed. They're going to be absolutely eaten up by the entire system. Or you have people that are just completely two-faced, who know full well that they're going to vote liberal, but they just act like conservatives. Or you have real nice, aw shucks guys who think they're going to do right, but they get down there and they cave and become a shell of what they were when they made promises. So going in with an agenda and with legislation, I mean, that's quite shockingly different. And, you know, I happen to think, I know you mentioned the Save Women Sports fight, but I also distinctly remember that video that of me that went viral when I was fighting on the Scott Motors vehicle. I remember looking up and seeing all of y'all from the women's group in Greenville up there, like cheering and supporting the opposition to that. What do you think about all of this money in the budget? It's a pet peeve, so I kind of set you up here. But all of the money of the budget that is going to these projects, that's going to private companies, it's really, in my opinion, government planning. Do you have any thoughts on that? Do you have any idea how you would vote on that in the budget or any plans to deal with that? Oh, wait, did I lose her? Oh, we might. Yeah, it's probably the weather. Well, the thing is, I already know how she would vote on it because she was literally brought an entire group of women to the State House to oppose the Scout Motors funding. But the latest data that's coming out of all this money that we're just wasting in the budget, plans, socialism, government planning, giving to some corporations over other, it's ridiculous. It's got to stop. Well, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. News Talk 98.9 WRD, Voice of the Carolinas.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here for Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Welcome back. And, you know, we had a very interesting segment just the previous one where we talked to Diane Mitchell, and she was talking about her what she had planned to do when she gets to Columbia. She's running in the special election along with Steve Nail, who we talked to earlier. Both of them running as conservative candidates. They both won to get to this special election. Bobby Cox was the former representative. He has recently resigned from that office, which is why it's created the special. So this is right here. If you're in Five Forks, Greenville, Greer, this is your district. It's a hugely important race. And obviously the SCGOP caucus, as some affectionately call it, the Rhino caucus, the one that kicked out all the conservatives, kicked out the Freedom Caucus members using their pledge that we would never post the public voting board or talk about how people vote or campaign against another Republican. You know, that group got involved and supported Batson in the original open primary with four candidates. Batson's the one we covered earlier that the Democrats also openly supported and pushed to vote in the primary, which, as I mentioned, quite shocking to see both the election meddling of the caucus. Why are they choosing any candidate? Why not let the people choose the candidate in the district, let alone choosing the one that Democrats prefer? And we wonder why we can't get open primaries passed in South Carolina. Well, oftentimes, if you have paid any attention to the South Carolina legislature, and I know, by the way, for our North Carolina listeners, the same thing is true in North Carolina, that unless you have grassroots support behind conservative legislators and legislation, it does not get passed. And we had this question from a grassroots activist who was saying, is this the year we're going to pass the parental rights bill and the medical parental rights bill and, you know, the women's safe spaces bill and school choice and on, all these different things people ask about. Are we going to, well, first you pretty much have to close the primary or using open primaries, get rid of some of these establishment rhino Republicans who vote against conservative legislation and whose main goal is to work against conservatives. And it's only by having conservative legislators who are willing to put up the conservative bills and amendments and get votes on them and share with the public so they can even know whether their elected official is conservative or not. It's only by having those people in office and having that legislation presented to where you can actually affect the elections. And that's why they created that rule that you could not campaign or endorse or post information about other members of the caucus. Or else you get kicked out. So I'm very glad to have two conservative candidates. They both sound pretty good. You can tell I've worked with Diane. I know her. I'm excited about her candidacy. I'm excited about the fact that she has legislation ready to go day one. But I want to talk about specifically, because we played the clip from New Jersey Democrat candidate. They're openly saying we need to push this kind of indoctrination on our students. Well, here in South Carolina, I covered it when I was on the Tara show. It was shocking back then. It's still hugely relevant. And I wanted to give an update because some people have asked what's going on with the person who is head of family laws in South Carolina. Because if you listened previously and you're not aware, in South Carolina, our Republican-controlled leadership in the House opted to make a Democrat, Beth Bernstein, one of the most pro-choice, Planned Parenthood-endorsed, rabidly liberal Democrats in the legislature, make her head of the Family Laws Committee in the Judiciary Committee in South Carolina. So she controls a Democrat. Wrap your mind around this. There's not a single Freedom Caucus member that is even on Judiciary. But yet they choose to make a rabidly pro-choice, anti-parental rights Democrat the head of Family Laws. Well, somebody asked me after, okay, well, you know, maybe she won't control pro-life legislation. Maybe that could go to like one of the health subcommittees. And maybe that's an excuse for why the speaker would make this kind of huge lapse. Well, think about it, ladies and gentlemen. Think for one second. The Family Law Subcommittee, when an issue about child custody comes up, let's say you're a parent and your kid picks up from a friend or school or wherever this whole junk about transitioning. And they come home and they mention to this that they're thinking about this. And you start telling them that, no, that's not reality, that there's not more than two genders, and that and you're not affirming. And they go tell the people that they've been talking to. Well, in some states, parents have had their parental rights terminated. They've had their kids taken away from them because of that in California and in other states. We have a Democrat who voted against the CRT bill banning ideological indoctrination, who voted against the amendment to report if kids are transitioning at schools, who voted against banning pediatric transgender surgeries on minors. Beth Bernstein voted against that bill and spoke against it. That is who runs the Family Law Subcommittee. So any bills that have to do with child custody or gender affirming care or counseling or anything, she's the one who has subject matter jurisdiction over that legislation. That's galling. It's actually shocking, and it's disgraceful. So I mentioned last time, contact the Speaker of the House. Email him. Call Club. Just Google it right now. Contact SC Speaker of the House and tell them, remove the liberal Democrat off of the Family Law Committee. It is unconscionable to have them in a leadership position like that. And by the way, Texas had some of these and was exposed, and the grassroots rose up. The local county parties rose up, the legislators rose up and demanded them to remove them. And guess what? They did. But in South Carolina, they've done nothing. Complete silence. Why? I mean, they put her in the position. Why would they remove her? And last time I talked about this bill that came up about whether or not parents should be told if their kid is transitioning at school without their knowledge. It's been happening. There's a big story that happened in Florida where they did this to this mother. She had no idea. And so this legislation was proposed. Thomas Beach, Freedom Caucus member, put this amendment up, thinking that it would have universal support from conservatives and Republicans, right? I mean, who could argue that you shouldn't, as a parent, be told that your kid's transitioning at school? Well, he puts this bill up, and who but the majority leader, the Republican majority leader in the House, Davey Hyatt, from Pickens, supposedly the most conservative county. He gets up and says this, whether or not he's going to support this bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I won't be long either. And I stand here today opposed to this amendment that's up on the desk. I'm married to a school teacher. Mr. Wheeler, you're absolutely right. What else are we going to put on our school teachers?
Mr. Wheeler is a Democrat who just gave this whole speech about how dare we put another thing on our school teachers. Well, what do you mean another? First of all, the bill didn't even talk about school. It said that the principal should report to the parent if the kid is transitioning. Then he goes through this whole thing and starts talking about, this is going to be awful. You're going to make teachers, if a girl shows up in a ball cap in Pickens, you're going to make them have to decide whether or not they're dressing like a boy. And they have no, that's terrible to put this on the teachers. It's nowhere in the legislation. I mean, this is lunacy. It's like the majority leader has not even read the amendment that he's speaking on and opposing, and he gets the Republicans to vote that down in South Carolina. It's galling. Wait till you hear the rest of this. We'll be back. This is Adam Morgan in for Bill Frady. News Talk 98.9 WRD, Voice of the Carolinas.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money?
Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Welcome back. Well, we've been talking about some of the major issues in South Carolina with why can't we pass good conservative legislation in the state without absolutely pulling teeth? Why are we behind all the other states? Why does Florida lead on every single conservative issue, and yet South Carolina is always behind? We have next to no school choice. We still have some of the highest income tax of conservative states. And yeah, last time I hosted, I played that clip of Charlie Kirk, who said, the only way we preserve this republic is if the truly deep red states, the safe red states, get bold, get playing offensive constantly. Like, we have to play offense. Because if we can't do it here, then this state is going to just turn purple. And by the way, if you look at what they fund in the budget to bring electric vehicle companies who are international, Volkswagen, to come here and do Scout Motors and force any South Carolina company that's going to do business with them to be DEI compliant. You think that's a good idea? All the Hollywood tax subsidies to get Hollywood to come here and do films here and bring relocate the people here. How'd that work out in Atlanta? We wonder how Georgia and North Carolina became purple states. It's because Republicans who should know better, country club Republicans, care more about using their positions to play government planning and pick winners and losers in the private sector, give tax money to preferred businesses and preferred industries to try to claim that they created jobs. That's how we got here. And it's a fundamental problem with the Republican Party. Unfortunately, a lot of times the most red states are governed the most liberal. They give lip service to cultural issues, but especially the fiscal stuff, they're just completely a wreck. And that's the case right here in South Carolina. We already talked earlier about zero-based budgeting. It's already law. We have a lot of common sense laws that they just don't follow. Whether it's immigration laws at the federal level or right here in South Carolina, zero-based budgeting, instead of making agencies say, hey, I know I asked for all that those $1 million last year, instead of just saying, okay, well, you get that same amount, do you want any more? Which is what they do now, saying, actually, go back to zero and explain why you need anything. Justify every dime in your budget. Makes a lot of sense, right? Not how it works. We talked about this, the SC Votes, the election commission director who was just arrested, him and his assistant deputy, who were fired and then arrested. And that story is repulsive. Like this longstanding affair going on between them, using all this taxpayer money to go on fancy trips and get all these hotels and wiretapping other people. I mean, it's like absolutely ludicrous. But that story, when you look at it, that election, that director had just gone and asked for all this new money after just wasting it through this lavish trips and travel that no predecessor had ever done before. And he was going and asking for an even bigger budget. Well, if we had zero-based budgeting, if we had more transparency in the budget, that kind of stuff wouldn't happen. That we need elected officials who will go to Columbia and to Raleigh and to wherever, to Atlanta, whatever you like, and actually fight for conservative values and fight for their constituents. Well, I was playing for you before the break the majority leader, Republican from Pickens, Davey Hyatt, when we put an amendment it was Thomas Beach, representative from the Freedom Caucus. He put an amendment to say, you know what, with all of this craziness that's going on with gender transitioning and ideological indoctrination that's happening at schools, we need to have the schools mandatory report to parents if that stuff's happening, if the kids are openly saying they're transitioning, changing their pronouns, or changing their legal name. It's all the legislation did. Well, Davey Hyatt gets up and he says, I'm against this legislation. He wants to kill it. He's a Republican. And as he's giving a speech, he keeps yelling out Democrat names. I agree with you, Representative. I agree with you, Representative Ott, and you. And the only negative stuff he has to say is about the conservatives. So now he's gone into this explaining why. His wife's a teacher, and he doesn't want her to be burdened by having to report this. He's talking about, what if I have all these people in my district who they, you know, single moms who don't have time to get their kids, you know, ready and work, and they don't know, like, don't have time to worry about what their kids are wearing, which has nothing to do with a bill. I mean, it's one of the most inane things you could say, but this is his debate for why we need to kill the bill. And then he goes on to say this.
Decent hour, doesn't have time to do the laundry the night before. And then the next morning, all they got left to put on is maybe blue jeans and cowboy boots, and maybe the young girl has to put on a ball cap. She walks into that classroom the next morning, and all of a sudden, some overzealous teacher goes, wait a minute. You're dressed like a boy. I better call your parents. That's what this amendment does. And don't let anybody tell you it doesn't do that.
Actually, it doesn't do that. I mean, it's just objectively stupid. By the way, while he's talking, and he had time, he supposedly has read this bill. He's now taking the time to get up and kill it as the Republican majority leader, this mandatory reporting if your kid's transitioning at school without your knowledge. It's literally on the screen behind him. He could literally turn around and look. But he creates this ridiculous, maybe this girl's going to show up and she's going to put on her blue jeans and her ball cap. And suddenly this teacher who is going to jump on her and say that she's transitioning. That's not, it says if you state you're a different gender, if you change your pronouns, or if you change your legal name, that's it. That's completely logical. In fact, how in the world is that not already expected? But then he goes on, don't let anybody pester you with those facts. Just all of you Republicans in here, just vote against this. Don't read it. Just trust me. I'll tell you this bogus story that has nothing to do with what's on the screen. Trust me and vote it down. So while he's speaking, I jump up because I'm like, I just simply want to say, hey, buddy, can you turn around and read the legislation that's on that we're voting on? Do you not realize that has nothing to do with what you just said? And he goes on to say this.
But this doesn't need to be added to this bill, because we ask our teachers to do a whole lot more then just teach now. And now we're going to ask them to be a judge on whether or not a child is maybe looking a little bit different.
Nope, we're not. That's not in the bill.
That's where we are.
Nope.
That's where I'm not going to take any questions, Mr. Morgan. Have a seat.
Put you I'm not going to take any questions, Mr. Morgan. Have a seat. That's me. That's your lovable host that he's referencing. I was standing up, holding my hand in the air, saying, trying to both point out that what he was saying was factually incorrect. Honestly, I was trying to help him out while also exposing if he was actually just blatantly lying, expose it to everybody. Well, obviously he was lying. I mean, or I guess it could be either way. I don't see how, because he had already heard the explanation from Representative Beach about exactly what the bill did.
But I understand that some people just hear all about show. But this is serious business.
Here it's all about. He's referencing the Freedom Caucus members who have put the legislation up to deal with an issue that is actually an issue, and who are standing up trying to correct him on blatantly false statements because he didn't either bother to read the legislation or he's lying about what it says. They are the one that he says are all for show. No, actually, sir, the one that's all for show is the person who is elected as the leader of the Republicans, who is getting up and speaking out the exact talking points of the radical left and the teachers' organizations, the liberal ones, who are saying, we don't need to just trust teachers. Don't worry. They're not doing anything. Well, you know what? There's a lot of great teachers. I'd say the majority are great teachers. But guess what? There's some whack jobs out there, like Jill, the one we talked about earlier, who told us that nobody wants to stand for the pledge because of false promises from the founders and because they're scared of having brown skin in Trump's America. Jill, who claims that her junior high students at Fisher Middle think that. No, Jill, you're the one that told them that. And sorry, Representative Hyatt, but just because you can't read the legislation you're voting on doesn't mean that we are going to give you a pass and not call you out when you completely misrepresent what it says and kill it. By the way, what happened? He pushes all the Republicans to vote against it, and almost every non-Freedom and Family Caucus member, Republican, voted against that amendment, and it did not pass. That is the state of South. We got radical Democrat running family laws who will have control over custody issues with if you don't gender affirm care. We got a majority leader like that who blatantly misrepresent to your face what a bill says and kill conservative legislation. Ladies and gentlemen, we got issues. Coming up next, dangers of AI. Is it making us and your kids stupider? Don't go anywhere. This is Adam Morgan in for Bill Frady. News Talk 98.9 WRD, Voice of the Carolinas. Welcome back. And a lot of texts are saying, this is why we need to close the primaries. I mean, I couldn't agree more. And you probably missed our segment earlier where we extensively covered that. So you'll just have to go back and listen to it and find it on the podcast when it drops. Yeah, I've enjoyed doing this. I have to tell you all, I was actually a Rush baby, which means I grew up in the back of a car as my parents drove around, especially my mom, and listened to Rush Limbaugh. So I was thoroughly indoctrinated at a young age in all things conservative. And let's be honest, that kids are sponges. They're going to pick their worldview up from somewhere. So parents, please get focused and serious about both you imparting a good, I would say, Christian worldview for your kids, and be very cautious and choosy about anybody that's going to have influence on that, especially in the education system. But I told you we were going to talk about the dangers of AI. A fascinating article released just this week from The Guardian, questioning or asking the question, are we living in a golden age of stupidity? Quite a catchy hook there, brings you right in. What do you mean? I thought we were all getting smarter. Well, in this article, this writer, Sophie McBain, really exposed a lot of big concerns. Did you know that up until 2012, pretty much every year and every decade, kids were testing better and better on IQ tests? We were getting smarter. But that began to change in 2012. And now, every year, not every year, but the trend is going down. What is causing this? Now, there could be a whole host of different causes, and we don't have time to unpack it. But this author points out that it very likely might be this mass introduction of technology into the classroom. I mean, technology can have its benefits for sure. It can make us more productive. It can help us get to answers faster. But unfortunately, it can also change the way we think. And in this article, she points out that if you look at brain rot, which is a very common phrase that's getting used, more and more people that use especially AI are having to get counseling. They're having to get therapy. They're asking about questions from their physicians about brain function. And it's pretty concerning stuff. And I wonder, you as listeners, how many of you regularly use AI? She did a study with people from MIT and people that were enrolled that were regularly using AI. And the people who were doing it, some of them didn't use AI for a project. Some did. The ones who did use AI, after they finished, they were asked to give a synopsis of what they just wrote. Most of them couldn't remember almost anything, and none of them could give a direct quote about anything in the essay that they had just written. Also discovered that she put this monitor on their head that was monitoring brain activity. As they were using the digital assistants, they noticed that the more external help and participation of those that had external help had less brain activity. So the more you use ChatGPT and AI and such like, you're actually using less of your brain. That's a little concerning. And it affects your memory. She argues that our brains love shortcuts. It's in our nature. And so therefore we love technology. We love that phone that sits there that can easily show us whatever might entertain us or answer any question we might have. But the problem is, though our brain loves shortcuts, our brain needs friction to learn. In fact, we need to have a challenge or else brain activity lessens and there are serious consequences to that, especially as you age. If the brain needs friction, but we also instinctively avoid it, that could be a serious problem. She goes on to say that with AI and this massive, we're basically offloading critical thinking and offloading creative thinking. Ladies and gentlemen, that's very, very dangerous. Now, I've already started trying to use AI because I want to learn. I'm young. I'm in my 30s, right? You want to stay relevant. And I know my fellow 20s and 30-year-olds listening to this right now are like, what? Come on, why are you hating on AI? And probably a lot of my older listeners are like, yeah, whatever that is, that sounds bad. But this article, ladies and gentlemen, go read it for yourself. AI companies are determined to push products to the public before we fully understand the psychological and cognitive costs to our society. She goes on and explains that this may have a similar experience. She calls it a stupidogenic society as to what we have with our obesogenic society, which is basically a nice way of saying that the more modern technology has allowed us to have better comforts and do things more easily that require less physical activity and given us more processed foods with higher calorie counts and increased marketing into marketing those foods and those activities, we've actually gotten fatter. That's the obesogenic society, and that's thoroughly documented in the last 60 years. Well, now she's saying that this AI massive increase and the frontiers of what we're seeing and this massive increase in especially young people using it are going to lead to a stupidogenic society, or could. And I have to say, another study came out and now says that over 50% of content, the articles you read online this year, are now written by AI. In 2015, that number was almost zero. So the articles you're reading, thankfully not this one that I'm reading from, the content you're seeing, the videos, the posts you're seeing, more and more will be created not by some person, but by some artificial intelligence app that spits out pretty soulless things that have not much critical thinking attached to them. And the question is, will we begin thinking less creatively? Will we have less friction in our brains as we go to solve problems? And will it lead, just like the removal of friction in our physical lives, will it lead to a dumber population as it has led to a fatter, more obese generation when all things physical? It's big questions, big things to wrestle with. And I got to say, it scares me for my kids. It scares me for my employees. And it doesn't make me, I'm not a Luddite. I'm not going to say don't use AI. But what I will say is we should take this seriously. And I think that teachers and parents, especially as you look at the usage of this with your kids, be aware. Are they actually doing their school? Are they actually learning anything? Or is everything they're doing actually coming from a computer? Well, with that, ladies and gentlemen, it's been awesome to enjoy this time with you today. And I'm supposed to let you know there is a 30-minute delay on 85 that has just happened. And they wanted to make sure you're aware of that. There's a bad wreck out there, so watch out for that. Thanks so much for joining me today, and continue to advocate in the political sphere and make sure you keep our republic. This is Adam Morgan in for Bill Frady on News Talk 98.9 WRD, Voice of the Carolinas.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.